Support for WPR comes from the Center for Healthy Minds, celebrating their 15-year anniversary with The World We Make. September 26th at the Wisconsin Masonic Center in Madison. Open to the public. CenterHealthyMinds.org. Support for WPR comes from the International Crane Foundation in Baraboo, working worldwide to conserve cranes, support communities, and protect the shared habitat. Site open daily through October 31st. SavingCranes.org.
And this is the Larry Mueller Show. I'm Jill Nadeau, and we're talking about this really special cookbook today called Belly Full, Exploring Caribbean Cuisine Through 11 Fundamental Ingredients. Yeah, I can't get past that today. And over 100 recipes. The author is Leslie Enston, and she's our guest. And Leslie is a home cook and recipe creator. Her recipes have appeared in Bon Appetit, Food 52, and the New York Times. And she's based out of Brooklyn. She's going to be joining us today in just a little bit. But if you have any questions for her, we'd like to hear from you. So give us a call, 800-642-1234. You can also send an email to talk@wpr.org. But first, Lee Rayburn is in there with us. Enough yesterday, Lee. You had to come back.
I can't get enough of the Larry Mueller Show. I'd be here one way or another, whether
That's
it's
true.
On the mic or behind the scenes. It
That's
doesn't matter.
True. And we appreciate all you do in both seats. But, you know, we're here for another reason today. This is the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive, even though it really doesn't feel like fall right now. Listeners, and that means you, provide the largest source of funding here at WPR. That's right, the largest. And this drive is your chance to support all the programs you enjoy, including this one, of course. So give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And we're getting a jump on the season with our fall member drive with your support. We've got a goal that seems a little bit daunting this hour. We're looking for 35 people to join us before the hour is done. And it always feels this way to
it
start
does,
off
doesn't
with.
It?
And we always get so close at the end of the hour. And the reason there's a reason we do this. We're actually kind of showing you our budget and what it takes for us to do what we need to do every day for you. Mm-hmm. So we ask you to give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And like I said before, the largest slice of funding for WPR at the biggest, okay, in case you didn't figure the large slice, is listener supported. So we kid around a lot, but, you know, this is kind of serious when we start looking at budgets and we need income. So, you know, some of our funding comes from state and federal governments and businesses, of course, mm-hmm. and they're all very important, but your contribution makes a huge difference. So keep independent, high-quality programs like this on the air when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we are going to sweeten the deal a little bit for you today. We have a WPR magnet available for your gift of any amount while supplies last. It doesn't matter what you give as long as you do, and you need to check out this magnet because it's got the little badger with his little headphones. Lime green headphones with WPR on them so that you don't even have to ask what the badger is listening to. You know. Ask for your WPR magnet now when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I've been a public radio listener for as long as it's been around. It's a long time. Public radio for me is pretty much the only kind of radio that that I would choose to listen to. My name is Penny, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for programming I can't get anywhere else.
Could you give now? WPR.org or 888-202-2552. This is the WPR Fall Member Drive. I'm Jill Nadeau, and I'm here with Lee Rayburn, our wonderful technical director here at the Larry Mueller Show. And we both know, and you may too, but let us tell you, listener support is the biggest source of funding for WPR, and that's why your gift of $10 a month, or maybe it's $100 a month, whatever amount that you choose has an important
And fun fact, this fall member drive, we have created a Rube Goldberg machine for you to try to donate. It is a very complicated maze that you might be able to... I'm kidding. We've made it as easy as possible. We've made it as quick as possible. It just takes a few minutes of your time, and a gift of any amount, like $10 a month, will do.
Or, you know, we should make it like Wordle-y, you know, where you have to follow, you have to answer all these quiz questions and things, and then you get to
then
give.
You can give.
I think that's a good idea. I would actually like that challenge.
Let's see how that works.
Okay. I'll start working on that for the next one. And remember, you know, this donation, it gives back every single day because you get engaging programs. So show your support, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And give whatever you can today because everyone who does gets a very cute WPR badger magnet with a WPR headphones. It's a 3-inch round magnet. It shows the badger listening to. You don't even have to ask them. It's written right there in the lime jello green. Headphones. Ask for yours when you give a gift of. How do we get the lime jello green headphones with WPR on them?
That's what I'm wondering.
How much do I have to give for those? That would be great. You can do it now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And you won't know what? Today is a really great time to become a sustaining member, and it's really super easy to set it up. It's convenient. You just do ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card, you know, way to get those miles. So get started. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Jeffrey Inacio says, I'm recently retired and now listen to more public radio than ever. I thought I'd better donate to keep the quality information and entertainment coming so I'm not tempted to go back to work. Yes.
Jeffrey, I like your attitude. Thank you so much. And you can be as powerful as Jeffrey is. Make a difference. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you. Okay. Well, now, Leslie, welcome to the show.
Hi, Jill. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Well, we really appreciate you spending some time with us today. And I got to say that your book is really fun. So not only is it fun to look at the recipes, but there's so much really cool information. Why did you decide to write Bellyful?
Well, I'm someone who's been cooking all my life and cooking with my mother all of our lives together. And, you know, I have this great love for Caribbean cuisine in general. I've grown up around all these different islands, and I really noticed that there was a lack of representation on the bookshelf. And I felt like I'm the one who's going to help get us on the map there.
Well, that's a great idea. I mean, a lot of people travel there and have wonderful meals, but then you come back and you're thinking, gosh, I'd like to recreate that. This book will definitely help that. You were talking about your mom and your grandmother, was it, that was helping you in the kitchen when you were growing up?
Just me and my mom.
Oh, okay. And what about your daughter now? You have a little girl. Is she interested in cooking?
She loves it. Yes, she's turning 6 today. She turned 6. She's 6.
Oh, well, happy birthday. What's her name?
Dessaline,
what a wonderful name. Happy birthday, sweetie. Now, you write that the Caribbean is home to so many different peoples and cultures and cuisines, and it's really a melting pot. Talk a little bit about the really it's a complex history of the Caribbean and maybe how that relates to food.
So, yeah, I always say that Caribbean cuisine, is the first fusion food. Because you had these indigenous people that were already there, and then different Europeans came and were interacting with them. And then they brought over the enslaved Africans who brought their own food ways. And then you had, along the line, you got Indian indentured servants and Chinese indentured servants. And all of this has come together to sort of, you know, it's all blended and mished and mashed and created something totally new.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think that it's kind of like there's something for everyone. Everybody can see a little reflection of their own foods in Caribbean food.
Now, as a vegetarian and kind of vegan, I noticed that a lot of your recipes don't have, you know, like the dairy in, or they don't have meat. Why is that?
Well, it's sort of twofold. I think that in the Caribbean in general, there is, depending on where you are, of course, there's a lot of not eating meat. In part, there's just not a lot of space. You know, the islands are small. There's not a lot of room for large animals. There's lots of chickens. And there were lots of pigs brought over by the Europeans. But there's not a lot of beef. And hence the milk. There's not a lot of milk there. And then also, my family in particular grew up in the middle of the bush, very poor. And so they just didn't have access to meat. They didn't have access to those things. So I didn't grow up eating them much. My mom, you know, once she came to Canada, married my father, things were different, but she just relied on that sort of way that she had grown up eating. So I used to eat vegan food and not think of it as anything, and then realize like, oh, that's a thing.
You were hip before it became hip to be vegan, exactly. Right? I love the story about that you told about your dad cooking jellied pig's feet and your mom just having to leave because she couldn't handle it. Did you grow to like that more meat?
Yeah. I mean, I think that today I eat more meat sometimes than I think I should. So I do enjoy it, but I also appreciate that I feel completely satisfied without it. I think that for some people, I've had people ask me, but how do you have a meal without meat? To me, that's just such a foreign question because I've been doing it all my life.
Yes, when I first decided to become vegan or vegetarian, of course, my parents were appalled. Well, what does that mean? How am I going to feed you? What am I going to make for you, right? But it really, you don't, if you're not used to it, it makes total sense. So,
yeah.
Now, you write that life on an island might mean cooking with what you, you've got and getting creative. So how did that play out in the Caribbean dishes?
In general, like in So I think that there's a lot of ways in which people had to, like you said, get creative. I think the enslaved Africans, certainly they were there cooking without the things that they were used to at home. So they had to look to the indigenous people and nature to sort of make up for those things. And I think that's part of what made the cuisine different. Certainly, it's been noted that there's a lot of gluten-free recipes in the book, and that is in part because wheat wouldn't grow there. So they had to find other ways to make breads and things that were similar to breads without it. So that's why you get a lot of cornmeal things, and the cassava makes a good sort of substitute. I think my understanding is the Europeans were not very satisfied in the beginning, but I think they learned to like it.
Well, that's kind of like when we go, when we travel and we come into, we find different foods and different tastes and different flavors. And at first we're kind of like, ooh, what is this? And, you know, should I try it? And then once we've eaten it for a while, we can really appreciate a lot more than in the beginning, right?
Yeah, I agree. My daughter, I always say that one thing that makes her like a good eater, she doesn't eat everything. She's certainly picky like anybody else's kid, but she will try anything. And I think it's because she's had enough positive experiences with unknown foods that she's willing to take the risk.
Well, good for her. I hope she keeps that up.
I hope so, too.
Now, you focus on 11 key ingredients that are important to Caribbean cuisine. Why don't you tell us what they are, and how did you narrow it down to just 11?
So the ingredients are beans, calabaza, which is a kind of squash, cassava, chayote, coconut, cornmeal, okra, plantains, rice, salted cod, and Scotch bonnet peppers. And I came to this list through just kind of when I realized I wanted to write this book, advice was given to me to just cook and write, cook and write. So as I was cooking and researching, I'm realizing these things keep coming up. Oh, yeah. Oh, they use cassava like that in Puerto Rico. Oh, Cuba has that okra dish. And so there were other ingredients that could have made the cut. But, you know, I had to end it somewhere.
Right.
red fruit almost made the list, but it didn't. So, yeah, that's how it came to be. These are things that we all use. Scotch bonnets, I make a caveat in the book. Not everybody uses Scotch bonnets. Most people use some kind of chili, and it is definitely a sign of the Caribbean.
Uh-huh, for sure. I mean, I think you wrote in that you pretty much put Scotch bonnet in everything.
Yeah, before my daughter was born, everything, and now most things. Okay. I'm working on her heat tolerance.
How hot is a Scotch bonnet? I don't think I've ever had one.
They are very hot.
Ah.
Yeah, they're probably, I think the ghost pepper is the hottest in the world, but the Scotch bonnet is right up there. So the Scoville on the heat units, a Scotch bonnet has 100 to 350,000. Heat units, and for reference, jalapenos have 2,500 to 8,000.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's a little tangy.
Yeah, a little bit of a zip.
We're talking to Leslie Enston. She is an author and home cook. Her recipes have appeared in Bon Appetit, Food 52, and the New York Times. Her book is called Belly Full, Exploring Caribbean Cuisine Through 11 Fundamental Ingredients and Over 100 Recipes. Do you have some questions for her about Caribbean food? Well, we'd love to hear from you, 800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And this is the Larry Mueller Show, and it is day one of the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. I'm Jill Nadeau, and I'm here with Lee Rayburn. And just a reminder that your gift makes a huge difference because listeners are the largest source of funding for WPR programs. So step up and be counted as a supporter with your gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Now, this hour, we have a goal of getting 35 people to join us with a gift. It seems rather daunting at this point, but as we get closer to the end of the hour, we'll get closer to this goal with your support. And this support funds WPR News and helps us stay on track. So we're asking you to make your contribution now. Don't wait. Any amount that works for you will do. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And do you know how many proud WPR members we have as sustainers, Lee? That's right, lots. 25,000.
You made me do math there.
I did. Wake up.
Just went blank. That's words are right. Fine, but numbers, no.
Numbers, I know. They don't tell us numbers here. But yeah, 25,000 WPR members are sustainers. And that's so wonderful because that we can count then on their ongoing monthly gifts to WPR.
You too can provide a reliable stream of funding for the programs you care about by becoming a sustainer now. And we've made it as easy as possible. You can choose any amount. Let's start with $10 or $20 a month and set it up to be ongoing every month. It's easy to do. Just go to WPR.org or call now, 888-202-2552.
This drive, add flair and function to your refrigerator with the new WPR Badger Magnet. Display your love of Wisconsin Public Radio and the Badger State with this strong 3-inch magnet featuring a badger tuned into WPR via headphones.
You're tuned to Wisconsin Public Radio.
Fancy up your fridge decor and give any amount now and ask for your magnet. Here's how.
Wow, those are some pretty smooth vibes there. All you have to do right now is go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation. I'm Jill Nadeau, and I'm here with Lee Rayburn. Your support during this fall member drive really makes all of the conversations that we have available to you. You enjoy the WPR because of that. Your gift of $10 or $20 a month or whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
And everybody across Wisconsin and even in Iowa, Minnesota, and Illinois have access to what's going on here at any time, and they do so because of you and the other tens of thousands of individuals and households who have chosen WPR.
Absolutely. So make your gift right now in the amount that's right for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you for making an investment that serves your whole community.
Now, you might be wondering, how much should I give? I don't know. I can't tell you. But you probably have a better idea. And whatever amount will do, and that amount will get you that new magnet today with the badger on it and the WPR lime jello green headphones. I've got to believe if anybody's got those headphones, Larry Mueller's got the headphones.
He's not talking. You know, he probably has them at home. He got the first cap, too. You know, he got the cap with the miss. There was something wrong with it, so they gave it to Larry.
Oh, I didn't know that. I just thought he was the first to get everything.
No, there was something wrong. There was a flaw.
He's like the WPR model of our contribution gifts.
Yeah, be cool like Larry. I'm sure he's going to get one or two magnets for
be
sure.
Be cool like Larry should be our new shirt.
Oh, I like that. I like that. Let's do that. If you're a sustaining member, thank you so much. Make today the day that that you increase your support of WPR by $5 or maybe $10 a month, whatever amount you choose, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Patricia in Winter says, I listen to public radio every day, which means I have something in common with Patricia in Winter. I love the learning and the entertainment, says Patricia, and so do we.
Absolutely. Please join Patricia with your gift right now. It's so important, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you very much. And let's go back to talk to Leslie Enston. She is the author of the book Belly Full, Exploring Caribbean Cuisine Through 11 Fundamental Ingredients and Over 100 Recipes. Before we continue, Leslie, where did the name come from, Belly Full?
That is a phrase that's often used in English-speaking Caribbean countries. They'll say, mi belly full, and it means both, obviously, your belly is full, you're full of food, but also, like, I'm content, I'm good, I have what I need.
That's great. That's a great phrase. I love it. Now, for those who might not be familiar with some of those Caribbean staples that we talked about earlier, can you find those in a regular grocery store?
So plenty of them you can, for sure. Of mm-hmm. course, beans and coconut milk, especially. A lot of the recipes don't have to be fresh coconut, which can be really difficult to work with, but I do love it. Okra, rice, and then plantains, I feel like, have found their way all over the place. I'm in the most random places and I'll see plantains. My dad lives in rural Ontario and they have plantains there.
Okay. So
I'm hoping that they're easy to find. Calabaza can be a little tricky. You really see it mostly in specifically Caribbean grocery stores, but it can be substituted with butternut or kabocha squash.
Okay.
And then the other ingredients, they can be found in Latin American stores because there's a lot of crossover there. Mm-hmm. And African grocery stores as well.
Okay. Well, let's go to the phones. We've got a couple of people wanting to give us a comment. Michael in Madison, you are first. Go right ahead.
Good morning. I just wanted to toss in that little anecdote from me. Growing up in Madison, I kind of grew up with Miracle Whip as the tangiest thing that I would tolerate eating. And then as an adult, I had some coworkers from other countries tease me about that at work, and I said, that will not stand. And so I pushed myself, and in incorporating different spices, getting up to the level of being able to totally process and tolerate a Scotch bonnet, I want to tell people that it is doable and delicious. But I just wanted to point out that it has allowed me to push myself in language, push myself in understanding of the history of other countries, because all of that comes through food and through people talking about food. I know I don't have a meeting at work without some thought of food happening. So it's possible everybody can do it and you can all get there.
I love that, Michael. What a great way to open up your universe. What do you think, Leslie?
I love that, too. I think that's so true. Food is the connector. It's mm-hmm. the ultimate connector.
And it's almost like he was training for a marathon there, getting himself up to eat a Scotch bonnet.
I mean, Scotch bonnets are, yeah, that's like full-on marathon level.
For sure. Good for you. Let's go now to Suzanne. Suzanne in Madison. Go ahead, Suzanne.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I would like to mention that breadfruit would be a good addition for your next book, because I know a couple of Caribbean countries, like the island of Roatan, which belongs to Honduras. They have a big push there to grow the breadfruit tree again, so that there are multiple breadfruit trees, because they're really a major whole food, apparently, for the poorer people living on those islands. So I'd like to know more about breadfruit and recipes for that. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Susan. Leslie, do you cook with breadfruit?
Yes, I do. And actually, because breadfruit was almost one of the featured ingredients of the book, it does have a little shout out in there, and there's some information about it. And it does come up in quite a few of the recipes, because as Suzanne said, it's a staple around the Caribbean. It was brought there from the South Pacific, I believe, where they called it the Tree of Life because it's so prolific and it fruits all year long, which is very interesting. So yeah. It was brought over here. The whole Mutiny on the Bounty happened because of breadfruit.
Really? And, I did not know that.
There you go. That's where it all started. And in the beginning, no one wanted to eat it, but people eventually got used to it. And it's delicious. It's like a little bit sweet. It's really nice.
Okay. And what does it look like?
It's round and just green and has, I don't know how to explain, it has like a pattern all over it.
Okay.
It's not common, mm-hmm. unfortunately, to see here mm-hmm. fresh. But I have a feeling, I think, because there has been a big push, it's such a sustainable thing, I think that we will start to see it more.
Oh, that's great. Now, how do you use it? Is it, you cut it up? Is that?
Yeah, you cut it up. It's like a, it's kind of like a, it's not like a squash, but cooking with it is sort of like squash. Mm-hmm. I would say it tastes a little bit more like a potato. They call it breadfruit because it sort of tastes like bread. And you can boil it, you can roast it, you can grill it, you can fry it.
Wow. Very versatile.
Yeah, it is very versatile. Yeah. And like I said, it's delicious and nutritious.
Excellent. Sounds like a perfect food. Let's talk about some of those key ingredients individually now. Probably the most familiar to everybody is beans. What do you remember about growing up eating beans?
Just that we ate them all the time. I like have a love, not a hate relationship, but we ate beans all the time. And there were times where ask what's for dinner and black-eyed peas. Oh, again, okay. But I do love them. And I think that, again, I got so used to that being my protein that I'm really happy to have that today. And I think there's so many things you can do with beans. There's so many ways you can season them.
For sure.
And you can stew them, you can fry them, you can put them in lieu of, you can make burgers out of them. They're great.
Now, what kinds of beans are most commonly eaten in the Caribbean?
Quite a variety. So black beans and any kind of red bean, like a kidney bean, chickpeas, black-eyed peas, mm-hmm. Pigeon peas. That's a huge one. I grew up eating a lot of pigeon peas. I hated them when I was a kid. I could walk into like an aunt's house and smell and know, oh no. But now I love them. So I don't know. Thankfully, my daughter likes them.
I'm not familiar with a pigeon pea. What does that look like?
They're small and brown and round. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they also call them gungo peas.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Let's.
Oh no.
You're done? We've covered peas. Okay, thanks. Now let's talk about the cassava. Now you write that it's representative of the Caribbean. What is it?
It's a root vegetable.
Okay.
It's like long, it's a long tuber. It's brown. It has a very hard skin on it. And here it's always a little bit shiny because they put wax on it, which apparently helps it to keep.
Ah, sure. I think we do that with some of apples and cucumbers, sure. Things like that. Sure. Okay. Give us a little bit of a history of the cassava in the region.
So cassava is it's indigenous to the area. And people were making a cassava bread there for thousands of years before anybody else showed up, which they still make to this day. And apparently in Guyana specifically, they make it exactly as they've been making it since they've been making it.
Wow.
So there is perhaps nothing as Caribbean as cassava.
Okay. And what are some of your tips for preparing it?
So you have to, it can be a little bit difficult getting once you get the hang of it, it's pretty easy, but getting that skin off is not the easiest thing to do. I always say, do not use a vegetable peeler. You will be sad. You will be sorry. A little sharp paring knife, you make a slit and you sort of work the knife underneath and it will just come right off.
Okay. Sure it will.
It genuinely does.
But, okay. Well, that's good to know, because if you know the key to peeling something, you're halfway there in any recipe.
Exactly. Exactly.
So there's a lot of different ways to use it, obviously. Do you have a favorite?
I think Bami is my favorite, which is you grate it and then fry it with coconut milk, which is just like all the good things. Coconut milk, fried. They're delicious.
Now, speaking of the coconut, it's pretty iconic on, pretty much any island, I guess.
And, yeah.
how did they get their name? You have that in the book.
Yeah, so apparently it's that the Coco means like boogeyman.
Oh.
And I think because of, you know, those round parts on it that look like a face, it looks, and when you start to look at it, you'll never unsee it. It does look like a kind of a creepy face, really.
It really does. Yeah. And I think most of us who have thought about using a whole coconut have probably said, yeah, no, I don't know how to open it. So what are your tips for that?
So, yes, that's something I talk extensively about in the book because it's not easy.
No.
Breaking it is the key. And I find a lot of satisfaction in putting it inside a bag and going out my back door and just slamming it on the ground. But maybe that's not, you know, the more sort of professional way to do it is to tap it all around with a hammer or the heavy back of a knife and it'll open up for you.
Really?
And then, yeah. Yeah. And I did not believe that because I grew up in a house of just throw it. But it does really work. And then once you've gotten it open, you can start to pry the pieces out.
Okay. Is it best to use like a knife or a spoon? Or I mean, how do you take those pieces out?
I like to use like a dinner butter knife. I find that to be the easiest to work underneath it.
Okay.
If you find yourself a little clumsy, a small spoon might be better because there will be moments of slipping. And
yeah, because that's really important. That knife can be very dangerous for sure.
Yes.
So
yeah.
We are talking to Leslie Enston. She is an author and home cook, and her recipes have appeared in Bon Appetit, Food 52, and the New York Times. Now, her new book is called Belly Full, Exploring Caribbean Cuisine Through 11 Fundamental Ingredients and Over 100 Recipes. Do you have a question for Leslie? Do you want to tell us about your experience with Caribbean cuisine? Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234, or you can send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is the Larry Mueller Show, and it is time for Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. I'm Jill Nadeau, and I'm here with Lee Rayburn. Your support is an essential piece of the funding for all the programs that you enjoy on WPR. It's a fact. Listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs. This drive is your time to take action. You make the programs possible when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And it's a fact. We need 35 people to join us this hour. That includes you. And if you do, we'll be on track to support the quality and variety of programs that you listen to and enjoy every day. It's listener powered. We are listener powered, and that means you and your donation right now makes the difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Lee, every time I hear listener powered, I get this vision of this big, like, gerbil wheel with all these little listeners inside just running around. You don't have to do that. You just have to call. You know, on the Larry Mueller Show, we focus on how to make your life better. Yeah. Every single day, we have practical advice on topics that affect your community. You know, we talk about things like health issues, or we talk about things that's going on at the university in the state, consumer protection, of course, and even Larry makes us talk about sports.
Today, we're talking about how to crack a coconut.
That's
and I
right.
wish I knew this way back when, because I've put it in a vise, I've tried to drill, I've used a handsaw, maybe some minor explosives even. But
okay,
thank
yeah.
you, Leslie.
This sounds
Enston
like a YouTube channel thing that you should
how
be
to crack
doing.
A coconut with Lee and Leslie Enston, if we want to do it right. So it's your support that makes all this possible every day. So if you support the Larry Mueller Show, do so with your financial support. Your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 keeps all these conversations available to everyone.
And think about what you spend your money on every day. I mean, we used to say, you know, buy a newspaper, but obviously that doesn't happen to us. Yeah, newspaper was a thing that you could, you know, pick up and open, and your news would be there. Some people they buy coffee every day or they buy takeout. You know, it all adds up. Well, it's easy to spend on other things that are part of your routine.
Couldn't help but notice we appear to be part of your routine too. So we're your news source. We're your conversation starter. We're the place that makes you think. So spend some money on it today. And you can just start with a dollar a day. It's $30 a month. Just go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio is Wisconsin. I moved here from another state, and that was my introduction to Wisconsin. And every day, that's how I know what's going on in Wisconsin. On a monthly basis, I'm contributing to Wisconsin Public Radio. When I hear them talk about sustaining members, I realize that's me. And I kind of like that. Contributing to Wisconsin Public Radio makes you feel like you're part of a family or like a community. That's how I feel every month. And even if they're just giving a small amount, they can feel that way too. I'm Bridget from Oak Creek, Wisconsin. Join me as a sustainer of Wisconsin Public Radio.
And you can give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Jill Nadeau, and I'm here with Lee Rayburn, and we're having a little dance break. It's great music. And we're asking you to support the quality program that you value right here on WPR with your gift right now, because it's our fall member drive. And your contribution of maybe $10 a month, or it can be $100 a month, whatever you choose. That's what's so cool. It makes a difference for our entire community.
Everybody gets to listen. Everybody gets to go online to WPR.org, and everybody gets to do it because of your support. So I'd like you to think back to when you first discovered Wisconsin Public Radio. For me, it was on my grandparents' porch in Kohler. I got to be honest with you, when I was a kid, I didn't get it. Not at first, anyway. But then I noticed the high-quality news when I got interested in news, the discussions about things that make you go, hmm. And no matter how you first found WPR, if you're like me, you're hooked.
That's right. And now is a great time to become a supporter of WPR if you haven't. Or if you have and you want to consider it, become a sustaining member, because it's really easy to set up. It's convenient. It's ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card. So get started at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we have the Member Drive Magnet waiting for you today. This cute 3-inch round magnet shows a badger listening to WPR. And you may ask, how do you know he's listening to WPR? It's written right there on his headphones, which may make you ask, how do we get those WPR headphones? Stay tuned. We're working on it. So ask for yours when you give any amount now and get that badger magnet at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, the drive team's going to come after you for that headphone thing.
I want people the headphones.
People are going to be calling and say, I want those green headphones. Lee said.
They're only for badgers. The animals, actually.
The animals. So yes. If you own a badger and we have a picture of it, you can possibly get the headphones.
Now they'll be talking to you. We'll be giving badgers out at the next member drive.
There you go. Green ones. You can call right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to get Lee and I from stopping from talking about
it. It's just a magnet.
This.
We're just getting you the magnet today, yes. But stay tuned.
Okay. We're going back to our wonderful guest and Leslie, who's talking about Caribbean cooking. And we've got a question from someone who's actually listening to us, Cheryl in Iron Ridge. Hi, Cheryl. What's your question?
Well, you know, I want to ask her this. In 1992, probably before she was born, I had the wonderful opportunity to go to Tahiti. And when I visited Tahiti, I ate coconuts. And I can't tell you how wonderful they were. And when I came back from the trip, I bought a couple coconuts, took them home, and wound up literally throwing them away because they did not have the same flavor that the native people of Tahiti climbed the tree to get the coconut and then show us all of the layers of the coconut that can be used. It just didn't taste the same. So where does she get coconuts that taste like they came from the island?
Well, Leslie, what do you say about that one?
Well, in 1992, I was very much around. That is a good question. Nothing's ever going to be as good as it is when it's fresh picked. I definitely in Trinidad, I remember stopping somewhere and my uncle just getting some young boy, like, go climb up and get us a coconut. And he went and climbed up and got one, and we cut it open and had it. And like, there's nothing as good as that. I'm fortunate enough to live somewhere that has a huge Caribbean diaspora. So I think that we get kind of fresher more often. They're coming here more often, ingredients. So that's something that's lucky for me. I think that's one of the reasons why I've focused a lot on coconut milk, like canned coconut milk, because not everyone has access to coconuts just generally, and not fresh coconuts. So unfortunately, I think you're going to have to go back to Tahiti to get that.
Gee, that's hard. I'll go with you, Cheryl. I'll be happy to go with you and help you carry those coconuts back. How do you pick out a good coconut if you do decide to buy one in the store? What's to look for?
That can be really tricky because I have tried all the things that I know and come home with a rotten coconut on more than one occasion. One thing you do want for sure is it should be heavy and sloshing around with a lot of liquid. There should be all that good coconut water in there. If you don't hear it, it's old and it's dried up and you don't want that.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. And some places will cut them open for you if you want to make sure that it's good.
Oh, that's a good option. I didn't think about that. Although I don't know if I've ever seen anybody doing that. Pineapple, yes. Coconut, no. So... they probably don't know how to open them, Leslie.
I can give them a tutorial.
There you go. I'll bring your book along. There you go. Now, we're talking about Scotch bonnet peppers earlier. So what do you recommend for someone who's never tried this type of pepper before? I mean, how do you know how much to use?
go slow. So definitely all the heat, or most of the heat, is in the seeds. So when you're using it, scoop those out and you can just discard them. And then I, for instance, when I'm cooking for my daughter, I'll just use a tiny sliver of Scotch bonnet and chop that up and put it in the dish. And then you can see how that works out for you.
Okay.
And, you know, and go from there. But yeah. Start small.
Start really small. Or you can substitute a different pepper, can't you? That's a little, maybe a jalapeno or something that's a little bit... not quite
you
so
could.
Spicy.
The thing about Scotch bonnets is they have a really particular taste in addition to the heat. They have this like beautiful smoky taste.
Okay.
So you can certainly, if you can't get your hands on them. And I have seen dried Scotch bonnet pepper. So that's an option too, if you can find that online.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing is quite like a Scotch bonnet.
Well, I think I'm going to have to try a little teeny tiny piece of it just to get that flavor from you. One of the things on your list I thought was interesting was the salted cod. Okay, we're talking about being surrounded by water here. Why salt it? Because that's a storage thing, right?
Absolutely. So it started off as being a way to sustain people on this boat ride going back and forth between Africa and the islands and Europe and the islands. So they needed something that wouldn't go bad. You know, they were on the sea for a long time. They wanted something that was cheap. It was very cheap at the time. The seas were prolific with them, and they lived up north. So the English had the lock on the salted cod, and it's just become part of the cuisine. And it's interesting because I think a lot of people think about fresh fish in the Caribbean,
right,
which of course
yeah.
there is fresh fish, and I've had, I mean, some of the best fish I've ever had has been just caught there. But day to day in most homes, salted cod is the fish that you're seeing being eaten.
Yeah, I thought that was quite unusual. How is it stored?
You can store it straight out on the counter if you want, because there's so much salt in it, which you take out, of course, before you eat it. I prefer to store it in the fridge only because fruit flies like it, and that's gross.
Mm-hmm.
But it can keep kind of indefinitely.
Okay. And is that pretty readily available in grocery stores?
I think it's pretty prolific. There's a lot of different people in the world that use salted cod, including in Europe. So you can, sometimes they call it bacalao.
Okay. Now, one other thing on your list is plantains, and I think we've become a lot more used to seeing those in grocery stores. What are some of your favorite ways to use plantains?
Oh, I just love every way to use plantains. I think my number one favorite thing is just fried green ones. I did not grow up with that. I didn't even know it was an option growing up, which was very upsetting when I found out. Like, why was my mom holding out on me? But I say I'm a person, I love French fries. It's one of my weaknesses, but I would say goodbye to ever to French fries if it just meant keeping fried green plantains.
Wow, I have never tasted any. So what can you, what does it kind of taste like?
Ooh, well, it's, I mean, fried starchy goodness. It's a little bit like a potato, but it has a bit more of a robust flavor.
Mm-hmm.
The green ones are not sweet at all. They're very starchy. I don't know. Yeah. And they're such a good vessel for like pickled things or mm-hmm. spicy things.
They look like bananas, right? Little tiny. Is that a plantain?
Bigger. They're bigger.
Bigger.
But they do look like bananas. They're like bananas.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But do they taste like bananas?
When they're ripe, they taste quite similar. Not the same. They're heartier,
mm-hmm.
both in texture and flavor, but it's similar. It's not, it wouldn't be a stretch.
Okay. So if you had to introduce someone to Caribbean food who had never eaten any of it before, what would that menu look like?
Oh my gosh, that's a really difficult question. Well, let's do some fried plantains.
Okay.
Obviously. And salted cod, some sort of a salted cod dish, probably something stewed. Like I grew up eating buljol, which is the Trinidadian version. Everybody makes a version of that. So I think that's really like very Caribbean. And rice and beans.
Okay. What about sweet stuff? Do you have any desserty kind of food?
Oh yeah, there's something called an arepa, which is from the Dominican Republic, made out of cornmeal. It's like sweet cornbread. It's really delicious.
Mm-hmm.
There's several coconut recipes, of course, because coconut and sugar goes so well together.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, and sugar goes well with a lot of things. Okay. Well, I really want to thank you, spending some of your time with us, Leslie. And I think you probably need to write another book because obviously you left out some ingredients. So
I'll work on it right now.
Okay. Well, then we want
you
back.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. We've been talking with Leslie Enston. She is an author and home cook. And her book is called Belly Full, Exploring Caribbean Cuisine Through 11 Fundamental Ingredients and Over 100 Recipes. And if you don't want to write that down or can't remember it, we do have a link on our website. So just go to WPR.org/Larry, go to today's date, and you will see that on there. But right now, I think I'm going to go back to Lee Rayburn here, who's been drooling over plantains, I think.
If Leslie's willing to give up French fries for fried green plantains, I have to try the recipe.
Yeah, I think she kind of got me there, mm-hmm. too. So, and in case you're not wondering, what's Lee doing here? We wonder it all the time, Lee.
I know.
This is the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive, and I'm Jill Nadeau, and of course, like I said, Lee Rayburn is here. And you know what that means? That we need to tell you once again that listeners like you provide the largest source of funding here at WPR, and this is your chance to support all those programs that you enjoy. So think about giving and then call 888-202-2552.
And this hour, we've set a goal of 35 gifts, and we are getting there. But we've only got a few minutes left.
Yes,
so the only way we're going to get there is with you. This hourly goal is important. It kind of shows you what we need to keep on track with everything we bring to you every day. So with the little time we have left this hour, help us get that goal. Give now. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I mean, where else are you going to learn about Caribbean cooking from mm-hmm. someone who grew up there? And I'll bet you're going to use that coconut thing. So where else would you find that? Right here on WPR. And we're here because we're listener supported. And that means that when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make this hour and many more hours possible. So choose an amount that works for you. Take a few minutes and make your gift.
Any amount will do. And when you give right now, we'll send you a WPR Badger magnet. It's got a Wisconsin Badger on it listening to WPR. How do you know they're listening to WPR? It's written right there on the lime jello green headphones. Get your magnet now while supplies last when you give any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm Sheree from Waupun. Well, I'm not very pleasant until I have my coffee, or at least get it in the cup. But in the morning, as soon as I wake up, I turn it on my computer. And I can honestly say when I do return to Florida, I will always listen to WPR. I will always be interested in Wisconsin politics. I will always care about the state of Wisconsin because of WPR.
To make a difference in your community and beyond, visit WPR.org.
And go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation this fall member drive. I'm Jill Nadeau here with Larry. Larry's not here. Lee Rayburn.
That would be amazing. All of a sudden, I'm Larry.
That's right.
Larry would usually be here.
That's right, he would.
And you would usually be listening to him. But today, we're asking you to support him and everything you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio by giving now at WPR.org or calling 888-202-2552.
And if you're a sustaining member, thank you so much. Make today the day you increase your support for WPR by $5 or $10 a month, whatever you choose. And you can get that cool magnet, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Dan in Green Bay says, what inspires me to give? The many fine programs with all their great hosts. And that has to include Larry.
It does. So join in. Be like Dan. Give your gift now. It's so important. It really, really is. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you. You know, it seems like it's easier than ever to travel these days. Or is it? Well, that's a question we have for our next guest. This is a Larry Mueller Show. I'm Jill Nadeau. And in the studio with us is Glenn Schmidt. He is a travel writer, teacher, guide, and storyteller, and the author of a new book. It's called Travel Lessons, Your Personal Guide to Better Travel. Do you need travel advice, or do you have some tips to share? Give us a call, 800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. But before we get to Glenn, we're going to keep you on the edge of your seat. This is Fall Member Drive here at Wisconsin Public Radio. And like I said, I'm Jill Nadeau. And Lee Rayburn, who is usually our technical director slash host slash, you know, renaissance man, is here with us. And we're here to tell you that WPR is basically powered by listeners like you. You tune in because there's always something interesting to listen to. And we want to thank you for that support because listeners provide the largest share of funding for WPR programs. When you give at WPR.com.org, good Lord, what's going on with me today? 888-202-2552. You make this program and everything else you hear on WPR possible.
Larry Mueller listeners, it's time to step up to the plate.
That's
because
right.
We've got a goal this hour of getting 35 people to join us in their support of what we get to share with you every day. And this goal is important. It helps us set up what we need for the news coverage and conversations that you tune in for every day.
That's right, and we'll meet this goal just one gift at a time. So join now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now, you might think that Wisconsin Public Radio operates largely with tax dollars. Now, and we do get some funding from the federal government and from the state, but it's really you. It's the voluntary listener contributions that make up the lion's share of funding for WPR.
And that means that your support is vital to keep WPR on the air. I mean, that's that simple. And now that you know how important you are, please make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And for a gift of $12 a month or more, we have a set of two WPR notebooks available for you. And may I just say, we go through notebooks in this place like, well, like paper.
Like paper.
These are small online journals just for you. One's orange, one's green. And whether it's on the go or at home, just jotting down notes or making some lists, ask for your set of WPR notebooks when you give right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio is important because it provides an unbiased report of news, information. It's a one-stop shopping center for information and learning, as far as I'm concerned. I do not listen to commercial radio anymore. I have no time for it. I don't like to be shouted at. I like to listen to Wisconsin Public Radio, and I appreciate all of that because that makes that listening so much more enjoyable.
Please give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. This is the Fall Member Drive, even though it doesn't feel like it out there. I'm Jill Nadeau. I'm here with Lee Rayburn. Listener support, of course, is the biggest source of funding for WPR. That's why your gift of $10 a month, or maybe it's $100 a month, whatever amount that you choose, you know, it really has an important impact for us.
Zip, zoom, zang. That's all it takes to get signed up and contribute now. That's how fast it is. We know you value your time, so the zip, zang, doot, that's all you got to do. And giving is that easy. It takes less than a few minutes. So tell us your name, your contact info, and how much you want to give and how you'd like to pay.
How much coffee did you have today, Lee?
All of it.
Okay, that's what I thought. It's quick and easy to do, and your gift right now, it really helps. So take the next few minutes to support the station you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And don't forget about those set of WPR notebooks. They are one-of-a-kind, attractive letterpress online journals with a WPR theme on each cover. Handy companion when you need to jot down a note or make a list. List makers, take note when you give $12 a month or more right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're not, become a sustaining member. It's really easy to set up. It's convenient, ongoing. It's monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card. Get started at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Trisha and Nina says, there is not a day that goes by that I don't say, guess what I heard on WPR? Me too, Trisha.
I do the same thing. And with your gift now, and it's really powerful, and it really makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thank you so much. And Glenn, thank you so much for coming in today. As we said earlier, Glenn Schmidt is here, and he's got a new book out, and it's called Travel Lessons, Your Personal Guide to Better Travel. So tell me, Glenn, why do you love to travel?
Jill, can I first say that I have been a longtime supporter of WPR, and I encourage that people out there join us. And Lee, can I get some of that coffee that's been working for you?
Oh, well, thank you for that, Glenn. We really appreciate that.
I think I'm kind of a proselytizer for travel. I think it's really good for people to get out, see how other people live, see that everything that we do, there might be another answer for how we do things. And getting to know people from the rest of the world, just to me, it brings the rest of the world closer together. So yeah. I highly recommend it.
And then you call yourself not only a traveler, but a border collie. Do you want to explain that?
Well, yeah, that's the first part of the book. I call myself a dog. That doesn't seem right because I am a cat person. But from an early age, I kind of have known what I am. I became a teacher. And that kind of says it all. I organize people, and then I became a union leader. And what do you do there? You're organizing people. But I knew that at a very young age. I remember I was about 10 or 11 years old, and we got onto a softball team. We're kind of an expansion team in La Crosse, where I grew up. And we did very poorly. We were like 0-22 the first year.
Oh, that's hard.
And so I did what I was really good at, and that is I went out and recruited people for the team. I not only recruited people, but I recruited basically an all-star team to the point where I no longer had a position on the team. And at that point, something bad happened. The Park and Rec hired a coach. And I thought, well, wait a minute. This is my team. You know, I'm a 10-year-old boy. This is my team. And he put me on a leash. So that's kind of what I mean by, you know, I've always known that I'm a border collie. And I go out, organize people. And when I'm on trips, it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's not only that, but it's a leader, too, obviously. And we all, you kind of need a leader when you're traveling with a group, don't you?
Yeah, you do. I spent a lot of time in the teachers union representing WEAC and NEA in the state level, but also nationally and internationally.
So you got to do a lot of traveling when you were representing those unions.
Yeah, teaching seems like an unlikely type of profession where you get to do some traveling. But if you're working with the teachers' union, there's a lot of things going on out there.
Now, I kind of teased this this segment here with a question. Is there a difference between a traveler and a tourist? Tell me what you think.
My view of that is the answer is yes. And it's all travel, so it's all good travel.
Mm-hmm.
When I think of travel, the first thing I do is picture myself sitting at a sidewalk cafe. Probably in some place like Berlin or Paris or London or someplace. And I will look around me and I'll see a tour group go by. And there'll be, somebody holding up a checkered flag and people kind of panting along behind them and seeing what it is that the tour guide wants them to see. Not necessarily what they want to see, but I think, well, that feels a little bit like travel prison to me. And I do have this discussion, too, with friends of mine. Do you go to foreign countries to visit the living or the dead? And I tend to favor the living. By that, I mean, street markets and cafes and things like that. But I have friends who want to go there to see castles and churches and cemeteries and stuff like that. And so it's all good, but it depends what you're interested in.
It's good to know that before you make this trip.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have Jonah in Green Bay that has a piece of advice for all of us. Go ahead, Jonah.
Hi there. Thanks for having me on your show.
You bet. So, go right ahead.
Yeah, exactly 1 year ago today, I'm pretty sure it's like exactly a year ago, my brother and I traveled to Barbados for his 27th birthday. And it was an amazing trip. We got to be there for 2 weeks. I got to explore a lot of the island. I guess my number one piece of advice would be for Americans, if you're traveling to another country that speaks English across the board, don't assume that you're still going to understand everything they're saying. This applies to the Caribbean. This applies to like the UK, like other European countries where people speak English. Accents can really trip you up. It tripped me and my brother up, and it was something that we had to get used to. So I would encourage listening to local vlogs of the area that you're going to be traveling, or going on people's Facebook pages and just listening to other just random videos from people who are traveling around the area or live in the area.
Well, that's really good advice, Jonah. Do you agree, Glenn?
Absolutely. I think one thing that people don't necessarily realize if they haven't traveled overseas is that the language lottery is over now, and we won. And if you have somebody who's from Sweden talking to somebody from Italy, the odds are that they're talking in our language. But as your listener just pointed out, that doesn't mean that you can necessarily understand that or if it'll come directly to you. I had an experience on the Isle of Man, and the guy had a very thick English accent, which I will probably try to reproduce here, but not successfully. And I was talking to him about Brexit, which was really pretty important at the time. And he's on the Isle of Man. So I said, well, don't you want to be in the European Union? And he said, we don't even want to be in Great Britain.
Okay, I think you need a little work on that, Glenn.
I hope my son's not listening.
I love it. Thank you for trying.
Can I add one more thing?
You certainly can.
As far as I like his point about trying to get familiar with the accent, the language, the rhythm. There is an app for your phone called Radio Garden. And I don't know if you've ever tried this, but it has radio stations from all over the world. And this spring, I went to Cuba. I went to Havana for a few days. And I decided I needed to brush up my Spanish. So I listened to Cuban radio for a couple of weeks. And then I ended up switching to radio in Spain.
And the reason is the Cuban Spanish was so fast. I had such a hard time keeping up with it that it may have been cheating, but I listened to the. But I put that on your phone. Radio Garden is really fun to listen to radio stations all over the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I read that in your book, and I thought, wow, I've never heard of that before. But you did mention that a lot of the broadcasts are still in English.
Yeah, that is kind of one of the downsides, and particularly if they're programming music. Many of the songs will be in English.
Well, we're talking with Glenn Schmidt. He's the author of the new book, Travel Lessons, Your Personal Guide to Better Travel. Do you need travel advice? Well, give us a call, 800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And you're listening to The Larry Mueller Show. Join us again tomorrow when nationally recognized gardening expert Melinda Myers is back. She's going to help you make that transition from fall to winter, including how to move your plants inside. But right now, we're going to make that transition over to Lee Rayburn as we're talking about the WPR Fall Member Drive. Now, we know the value of your time, so... I lost my space here, Lee.
So we're going to make it very easy for you to support us. It just takes a couple of minutes, and you can give any amount to support what you count on every day and everybody else who tunes in as well. Just go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Thanks for taking care of that for me, Lee. I appreciate that. We're all here as a team. And we're looking for 35 people, team members of WPR, to join with a donation this hour. Our goal is important, and it's set to just make sure that WPR has the funding needed to share the news and conversations that you and thousands of others count on every day. So give now, WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And we're here with Glenn Schmidt, our guest this hour, with his new book, Travel Lessons, A Border Collie Cat Person. Quite the description and wonderful stories that you'd only find right here on The Larry Mueller Show. And you make The Larry Mueller Show possible. It's listener-supported along with everything else at WPR. That means when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make this hour The Larry Mueller Show and many, many more possible. So choose an amount that works for you. Take just a few minutes and make your gift now.
And a great way to support WPR is by becoming a sustaining member. Now, as a sustainer, you'll make ongoing monthly donations right from your bank account or your credit card.
Happens every month. You don't even have to think about it. It is painless and it is supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. So become a sustainer right now. Don't wait. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Capture your next brilliant idea or weekly grocery lists in the new WPR Letterpress Notebooks. With your gift of $12 a month or more, you'll receive two unlined journals with a Wisconsin-inspired cover. Whether you use it for daily journaling, lists, or doodles, you'll have a stylish place to keep your notes. Support WPR and ask for your two-pack of WPR journals. Here's how.
All you need to do is go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to make your donation. I'm Jill Nadeau, and I'm here with Lee Rayburn. You know, your support during this fall member drive makes that the news, the conversations, the entertainment that you enjoy on WPR possible. So your gift of $10 or $20 a month or whatever you choose is the right amount.
And let me take this moment to thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being there for us. And thank you for supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. And you may have already given a donation this year. You may already be a sustaining member. And we got to thank you again for all of that. But we also have to ask you to consider making an extra gift of, say, $50 or $100 at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Join in this drive. And again, thank you for your extra support for the programs you enjoy every day.
Now think about it. What do you spend $10 on? Lee, what do you spend $10 on?
Well, I think that was a lot of coffee, but maybe not $10 worth.
I hope not. Although these days, that's probably only two cups, right?
Oh, you're right.
I mean, you can spend $10 on food, maybe at that cafe or getting the coffee too. Coffee, yeah, but books, games, apps on your phones, mm-hmm. for heaven's sakes. You know, these are all things that make your day better. And just like Wisconsin Wisconsin Public Radio, that makes you better too. So all we need is a gift of $10 a month, and you can make a difference for the public service that you rely on.
When you support WPR, you're joining a community, a team, with the teamwork that we all count on. And it's tens of thousands of us that make it possible each and every day, and we all have a role to play. So join in now. Give $10 a month, or whatever amount's right for you. You know what to do. WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And ask for your set of two WPR notebooks. When you give $12 a month or more, they're online journals, or as I used to call them, a diary, are handmade in the U.S., and they're from recycled paper. And they're perfect for your notes, your thoughts, your lists. Ask for your WPR journals now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And let me just say it again, because we can never say it enough. Thank you. If you're a sustaining member, thank you. Make today the day you increase your support of WPR by $5 or $10 a month. Whatever you choose, thank you. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Michael in Plover says, I've been listening for over 40 years. Well, go you. When people ask me how I know something, I just say WPR.
You bet. Join Michael and the entire team. Get with us today with your gift right now. It's crucial. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and thank you.
Thank you so much. Right now, we're talking to Glenn Schmidt. He's the author of the new book, Travel Lessons, Your Personal Guide to Better Travel. And we've got Paul in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, who has a question. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, Glenn. Paul Mueller, Minnesota, calling from your union days. I did have the privilege of traveling with you to Porto Alegre, Brazil, and Argentina. And I just want to offer a testimony to the fact that you rock. You're the best. But I do have a question as far as looking at going to Iceland. Want to know if you got any feedback on that. And then also, with specific particulars, I'm trying to judge the difference between a cruise to a place like Iceland versus a land tour. And I don't know if you have any expertise in that at all or favor one versus another, but I'd be interested in just hearing your thoughts on that. So, again, Okay. Thanks for taking the time.
Thank you, Paul. Glenn?
Paul, it's good to hear from you again. That was really an outstanding trip that we took to South America. It was going to an education international meeting for the international union that were of teachers that we were talking about. Iceland, my experience with Iceland, Paul, I hate to say this, but I was actually going through Iceland, and I had a friend who was going to get on the plane in Iceland, and he broke his arm and his leg. And he had to be med-flighted back to the United States at a cost of about $70,000. Yeah, and it was a fairly traumatic thing for him. But so I have not toured Iceland yet. As far as a cruising around there, you know, cruising in that area is really getting to be going up around the Scandinavian countries and Britain. And the other day, for the first time, I saw one that just completely circumnavigated the British Islands. And so they are really building a lot of new cruise ships there. And I wouldn't be afraid to try that out, because even Rick Steves now has a book that is about cruising. And he said, The one thing that you really can't, that you have to think about, is that it solves some of the problems that you might have otherwise. And I think his example is something like, if you're in Naples and you want to visit the island of Santorini, it'll probably take you 2 days to get there. Probably you're on a couple of different ships and maybe a couple trains, and finally you get there. Whereas if you're on a cruise ship, you just go to bed and you wake up there.
Better option.
Yeah, there are a lot of advantages, I think, to cruise ships. There is a chapter in my book called Hydrology. Now, this is kind of strange, because being a teacher, I have named all of my chapters after basically my workplace, or history and psychology and geography and physical education. And I got to the, you know, where I wanted to put the cruises, and I don't have a name for that. We don't really teach that in school. So it's called Hydrology. And so, Paul, I highly recommend you read that chapter.
Because you did. You have some really good information about the different kinds of boats that you can take.
Yeah. Can I talk about that?
Absolutely.
There if you're going, let's say Europe, and about half the book is about Europe, but let's say you're going to Europe, and you got basically two choices that you're aware of. One is taking the riverboat cruise, a Viking cruise, say, which I did last summer. Another choice is you get on Royal Caribbean. You get on a big ship, and you got, about 3,000 people on it, and you're mainly in the Mediterranean or, maybe in northern waters. But there is a third alternative, and that is renting your own canal boat. Now, you have to go to the site called LeBoat, LeBoat. And we've done this three times now. You have to have a friend or relative who likes boats. Because you get a 50-foot boat mm-hmm. with four bedrooms on it, and you see usually France at the right speed, 6 miles an hour. And there's next to these old canals, and they're like 300 years old, there's always a towpath. And what they've done with these towpaths is they've turned them into picnic areas, bike trails, walking paths. And I even remember one time we had a couple of bikes on the boat with us. And so what we did was we decided we would ride ahead to the next town and then report when the boat got there, because you got to go through a lot of locks. And we're trying to get on the boat or get on the bikes, and it was Peggy and I, and I look around, and Peggy's having trouble. And this young Frenchman comes over to her, and he says to her, "It works better if you do it like this." And he turns her handlebars around. And I said to him, "She didn't do well in the Tour de France."
She's going backwards. I read that in the book, and And I just have to say, you have a lot of these lovely little anecdotes of when you travel, and so that makes it a little bit more exciting to read.
Well, and let me talk money here too, because for the price of renting that one 8-person boat, you can do it for about $4,500, maybe $5,000. That will get you a week on a Viking cruise for one person. And here you can do it for 8 people. But again, if I had to drive the boat myself, I'd be too nervous about it, because it's they're turning over $500,000 boat to you, and then they give you 30 minutes of training. It's like, okay, right.
That's enough, right?
Yeah.
All right, thanks so much for the call. Barb in Madison, you're next. Go right ahead.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead, Barb.
Hi. I am calling because I had a son who loved to travel, and he was in Thailand and suffered a 50% third-degree body burn. Oof. And what I learned from that, because he had health insurance with Cigna, and I had bought evacuation and repatriation riders because I knew he liked to be out in the Wi-Fi and, the grid, kind of like this. And so I've learned now when I go, I buy air evacuation membership. It's not considered insurance. And that's what will get you home. At the time I had called, I probably called 50 different air ambulance companies, and it was about $250,000 to air flight him from Thailand back to Madison.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, thank you, Barb. Glenn, you just talked about your friend in Iceland.
Yeah.
And you do have some suggestions for that, don't you?
I do. I've got there's a chapter on that. For my wife and me, I have a year-round policy from Allianz. And you go in and you select what it is that you want from them. And I do exactly what the caller said. I am looking mainly for how much are you going to provide for evacuation of my broken body if it needs to be, shipped somewhere. And usually I've been looking in the $500,000 to $1 million category, but she's going to make me rethink that if it could be even more than that. If you are just going on like one trip, one cruise or one tour or something, I recommend people go to squaremouth.com. And if you go to Squaremouth, they're kind of a consolidator, and you tell them where you're going and what you need, and they'll offer you, a dozen or a half dozen different companies, and then you kind of drill down and select what it is that you think you need.
And what about when we buy our tickets and they ask you for insurance? Should we bother? I mean, I've heard so many horror stories about people thinking they were insured and they weren't.
I don't do it that way.
Okay.
And It's to me, I'd rather select what it is that's in the policy rather than finding out after I bought the policy what's in it.
Mm-hmm. So your policy covers you for a full year. Are there options for just single trips?
On Allianz, yeah.
Okay.
You can do that. But at that point, they just become one of many. And then you look at, you know, if you go to Square Mouth, and Allianz will be on there, too.
Okay.
You know, so that's mm-hmm. another choice.
Now, you take a lot of trips. How often do you travel?
Well, you know, I keep reinventing myself. And my most recent actual employment was I spent 9 years as an editor of a labor newspaper, and in which really kind of pumped up my whole the whole writing aspect of my life, and but that allowed me to do travel in that amount of time too.
Mm-hmm.
And since when you retire, you know, if you get to retire fairly young, those are really your prime travel years, because you have the three things that you need, hopefully at that point in time, that you've got time then. You probably have some interest in it, and hopefully you have your health at that point in time. And that's something you should not take for granted, because there are many people that I know, maybe they're okay traveling, but they have a spouse or children, grandchildren that they have to take care of, or other responsibilities. So if everything is lined up for you, go now. Because the future is not guaranteed.
Mm-hmm, that's so true. What draws you to a place?
Well, that's interesting. There's, first of all, I guess, let me tell you probably my favorite place as far as the prettiest place I've ever been. That's Lake Como in Italy. And I think it's just a beautiful combination of the landscape and what people have done with the landscape. So what I've done for this coming year is I came up with about seven different places, they were actually all in Europe, that I thought would be really good to go to. And I surveyed the regulars that I travel with. And I actually took data. And I said, okay, you need to rank these from 1 to 7. And they ended up selecting Lake Maggiore. Now, do you know where Lake Maggiore is?
I don't think so.
Okay. It's right next to Lake Como.
Oh.
All right? So I'm good with Lake Maggiore. And so I've been doing some research on it, and it really does seem like a beautiful location with a lot of interesting things that you can do there.
We are talking to Glenn Schmidt. He's the author of the new book, Travel Lessons, Your Personal Guide to Better Travel. If you've got some questions for him, or maybe you have a piece of advice you'd like to share, give us a call, 800-642-1234, or you can send an email to talk@wpr.org. And this is the Larry Mueller Show. I'm Jill Najel. Looking ahead to Monday, Mike Bino, editor of Our Wisconsin Magazine, will be back to give us a sneak peek of the next edition. But first, we're going to get a sneak peek of the WPR Fall Membership Drive. And I'm here with Lee Rayburn to remind you that the largest source of funding for WPR programming is from listeners like you. This drive is your chance to support all the programs you listen to throughout the year, especially this show. Take that important step when you donate at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Larry Mueller Show listeners, it is time to step up, because we've got a goal and we've got to get it this hour with your support. We'll get there. We got 35 people to join this hour, and when we do, we'll be on track to fund WPR News. So make your contribution now. Any amount will do. WPR.org. 888-202-2552.
You know, in a single month, there are hundreds of discussions on Wisconsin Public Radio. There's so much to learn, so many interesting people to meet, and topics to discover. That's one of the reasons why I have always been, well, mostly always, I didn't grow up in Wisconsin, but when I got here, I became a WPR fan. It's so wonderful to hear all this information, because I'm sure that you, like a lot of us, are lifelong lifelong learners. And when you support WPR with a donation, you make all of those conversations possible. Take that simple, powerful step right now when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I mean, when do you actually get more than you pay for?
Not very often.
I'm still thinking here. I that's all I can come up with. WPR is the one place where that rings true each and every day. So consider a gift of just a couple of bucks a day to support the radio programs that we all love.
And you can't buy much for $2.
Nope.
But at Wisconsin Public Radio, $2 a day actually means a lot of news, a lot of information, just a lot of great radio. What that works out to $60 a month, and you can make that gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I became a sustaining member because I listened to WPR throughout the day. It's in my car, it's in my home. I know that there is always a topic of interest that I'll enjoy hearing. I like being a sustainer because I'm listening to Wisconsin Public Radio all the time anyway, and I would rather not have to worry about responding and making an extra phone call or sending in the envelope that gets mailed to me. I just like knowing that my money is there and will be supporting Wisconsin Public Radio for years to come. I would say become a sustaining member because it's so very easy. Do it today, you'll be glad that you did. I'm Nancy from New Berlin, Wisconsin. I enjoy being a WPR sustainer, and I think you will too.
You can give by going to WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Jill Nadeau. I'm here with Lee Rayburn, and we're asking you to support the quality program that you value on WPR with your gift just right now during our fall member drive. And your contribution of $10 a month, or maybe it's $100 a month, it's whatever you choose, makes a difference to our entire community.
So if you've never given to WPR before, here's what you can expect. It is super easy, it is super fast, and it feels great. I know this because I've done it.
So that's right.
You answer some basic questions, name, address, the amount of your gift, and how you'd like to pay.
And you know what? That's it.
That's it.
That's it. There's no more. But is there anything like that feeling when you're listening and you've already pledged?
Not only are you giving, you're giving it away.
That's right.
This is for you.
Right.
I got
That's
this for
you.
You.
Thank you, Lee.
You're welcome.
Appreciate that. Make that first donation to WPR, and you'll feel good about it because listener support is such a big part of what makes WPR happen. You know, many first-time donors give $10 a month or $120. The amount is totally up to you at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And this fall member drive, we've got something unique. I don't think I've seen these before.
Nope,
these
new
WPR notebooks. Mm-hmm. They are beautiful. Beautiful letterpress online journals from recycled paper, and they are yours when you give $12 a month or more now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And now is a great time to become a sustaining member. It's easy to set up, convenient, ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card. Get started, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Brennan in Madison says, thank you for providing wonderful programs and a trustworthy news source.
Well, thank you, Brennan. Mm-hmm. Why don't you join Brennan with your gift now? It's powerful and really makes a difference. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you. And thank you to Glenn Schmidt, who's here today to talk about travel. Glenn, we've got an email from Man. They have traveled a bit to Africa countries and would like to travel more. Whenever they are in a new country, they like to learn the basic phrases in the local language, such as, what's your name, where's the hospital, help me, or I want help, etc. How important is learning a bit of local languages while traveling?
Here's what I really like, the PIMSLR program. And I'm not sure if it's available in African languages, but I've got the German, French, and Spanish edition of PIMSLR, so for me, I do like the same thing. I like to know some phrases of every place that I go, and I remember I went to Japan for several weeks on a Fulbright, and I did what a teacher would do. I made flashcards. I had 100 flashcards, and with words that I thought I was going to use. And I remember my last day in Tokyo, I thought, I'm going to try to go to one of those noodle shops at the rail station, and I'm going to go by myself where there's no help here. And anyway, what you have to do is you have to go to a vending machine, and there are pictures of things. So you put some yen or credit card in the vending machine, and then you push the button for the picture, and out pops a ticket. All right, then you walk in the noodle shop and you hand the ticket to somebody, you know, who can give you some food. And so I did, and the woman said, udon o soba. Well, udon and soba, those are different types of noodles, right? They were two of the words on my list of 100. And I went, soba. And then I went and slurped my noodles standing up as everybody else was doing.
That's great, yeah. And you have a an app that you recommend, right? If you travel, the Google Translate, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Google Translate is a very powerful thing, and they keep adding things every year. But at the very least, what you need to do is learn to use it for menus. And what you can do now is just look at any menu, and you can hover your phone, you know, open Google Translate, hover your phone over the menu, and out pops a translation on your phone in English. So, you know, where you thought in the past you might be ordering chicken, but it was actually chicken gizzards, now you know that, you know, it's gizzards.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
We've got a caller, David in Verona, who has a question. Go ahead, David.
Yes, hi. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, go ahead, please.
Yeah. So I have, I like to travel. I'm a retired, recently retired person who's in good health, but I have concerns about, I guess, ethical things. Global warming is a big problem, and traveling all over the country or all over the world causes a lot of greenhouse gas emissions and is potentially dangerous for the planet. That's one concern. The other is I've heard that many communities, especially in Europe, are complaining about too many people, too many tourists coming to their community and taking up all the resources. They're using all the available housing and eating all the food, and that's a concern. And they've actually tried to ban tourists in places like Spain and Portugal.
I've heard some of those things too, Glenn. What do you think?
I totally agree. First of all, I think you have to be careful about your global footprint. And it's the getting over there that's the toughest, because if you're in an airplane, you're burning fuel. There's no doubt about it. But once you're over there, the kind of travel that you do is very often much, much less harmful to the environment. You're on a train or you're on a communal bus than the typical kind of travel that we do here. Your caller is absolutely right that some places are getting over-touristed. The poster child for this is probably Venice. And they're now actually charging tourists, if you're not spending the night there, in other words, if you're a cruise passenger, if you're not spending the night, they're going to charge you like, I don't know, 10 or 15 bucks or whatever it is per day just to come into Venice. So they kicked the cruise ships out entirely. But you know how well that worked? They just dock about 20 miles away, and then they bus the tourists into Venice. So it's still a problem. And in my book, I really recommend that you go, you know, fine, you can spend a day in Venice, but I recommend that you avoid the crowds. I don't typically spend a lot of time in crowds. Mm-hmm. And I will find places, like we were in Croatia this summer, and we spent most of our time in Istria, in the town of Pula, where we had rented a place. Mm-hmm. And it was just a beautiful. Croatia is just kind of getting on the map for Americans. And in fact, our group kept getting mistaken for Germans, which is, you know, sometimes problematic. I mean, my name is Schmidt, so there.
I was just going to say.
Yeah, there is that. We ended up going to a restaurant, and they kept sending the German waiter over to our table because I had made the reservations under the name Schmidt.
Sure.
And it turned out the waiter's name was Schmidt, too. And but we did finally convince them, no, you better talk English because we weren't too good on the German thing.
For sure. Thank you, David. We really appreciate your insights there. We got an email from Lynn. Their family is planning a trip to Opole, Poland, O-P-O-L-E. This is a trip to visit their ancestral roots. Have you ever traveled to Poland, and do you have any tips or suggestions to help them navigate through the language barrier? Should they hire a guide when they get there? Should they book through a travel agent? Any suggestions or advice would be appreciated.
You know what? I love travel agents. Unfortunately, in this country, since 2000, we've lost about 50% of them. So it's getting harder and harder to find a travel agent. For a place like Poland, I haven't been there yet, so let me put that out there. But getting around there, while you could get a tour of some type, I think you can probably handle going there. And if you're going to get around, there's you can go on the train line. And if you're going from one place to another, from, you know, Krakow to, you know, Gdansk or wherever, the train line is a very good source in English for you to book trains. And they will not be very expensive going through there. So I wouldn't be afraid to take it on myself. It depends what your comfort level is. As far as not knowing the language, you're usually only one young person away from being able to speak English to somebody. Literally, they'll bring somebody over to your table and they'll say, you know, can you talk to them?
And most places are very accommodating that way, aren't they?
Oh, very much so, mm-hmm. Especially if you get out of France, which is honestly my favorite country. But, you know, the French, even if I use French, the French don't want to talk to me in French. I'm not good enough at it.
Do they appreciate the fact that you try? I've heard that that is the case, but...
I've heard that, too.
Okay, well, we know that answer. So in the last minute or so that we have left, Glenn, tell us what people can find in your book. There's lots of info there.
I tried... It's called Travel Lessons for a Reason. There are lessons that I have learned and lessons that I'm trying to teach. Remember, basically, I am a teacher. And often you'll find them in the same article. But if you read it in sequence, you'll find, well, it starts with me as a dog, as it is.
Border collie.
As a border collie. As you get more and more toward the end, it's about you, the reader, and how you can take the lessons that I've learned and apply them to your travels. Mm-hmm. So, you know, all you got to do is go on Amazon.com and put in travel lessons, and you'll find that book.
And the last, is it like two chapters, I think it is, really gives you some specific advice on different aspects of your trip.
Right, because while there's more information now out there than ever before, what do you trust?
Right.
And so I just put in there the places that I go that I trust, and hopefully you'll benefit from them,
okay.
Too.
Okay. Well, we trust you, Glenn, to give us the best information. So thank you for stopping by. We really appreciate it. Again, our guest was Glenn Schmidt. He's the author of the travel book Travel Lessons, Your Personal Guide to Better Travel. And it's a nifty little paperback. You can actually put it in your suitcase if you want to. So thank you for that, Glenn. And we've got a nifty person coming into the studio right now, and that's Lee Rayburn.
Wow.
You're the niftiest guy I know.
Good to know.
He's here to help us with the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive, because we're here today to raise the money that pays for the programs that you enjoy, like the programs like this one, which I just got a lot out of. So it's worth my money every month. Support from people like you is the largest piece of funding for WPR programs, and that's why your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
We're just a few people away from reaching our goal of getting 35 people to join us this hour, and you could get us there with your support of WPR News. Wisconsin Public Radio is listener powered. That means you power us, and your donation right now will make the difference. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And we just talked about travel, which so many of us really, really enjoy. Or even if you don't want to travel yourself, it's always fun to listen to it and learn about it. So that's what you get when you listen to WPR. And of course, we're listener supported. And that means that when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, you make this hour and many more hours possible. So choose an amount that works for you. Take a few minutes and make your gift.
And don't forget to ask for your set of two WPR notebooks when you give $12 a month or more. Your donation is going to support the WPR programs you value, and you'll also receive this sweet set of one-of-a-kind journals, doodles, notes, lists. These online notebooks will be an attractive and handy item in your day, and they will tell everybody that you support WPR. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
I've just learned a lot by listening to public radio. I feel like I can use it. It's something I can use in my life and learn more or do something different or think differently. It kind of runs in my family. My mom listens to public radio. My dad listens to public radio. My brother listens to public radio, although I think he's unlucky because he lives in New York and we have the best public radio here. I've traveled around the country and this is the best. I'm Katie Simonson from Burlington. Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for news and information.
And you can go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation this fall member drive. I'm Jill Nadeau. This and Lee Rayburn is with us. Join in your gift with your gift right now because WPR's essential service is available to you and your community thanks to your support.
Susan in Chippewa Falls says, my parents supported our local public radio station and I have continued to do so myself. I count on WPR for balanced and in-depth news.
Well, thank you very much, Susan. And why don't you join her with your gift right now? It's so important at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Thank you so much.